Total Access Show.
Touchdown, Tampa Bay!
On your home for the Buccaneers, 620 WDAE and US 1035. Here's your host, Dave Moore.
2-0, when the Bucs are on fire, 20-7 in Carolina. And today, as we do every week, we get the opportunity to sit down and you guys, the fans, get to call and ask questions and make comments. And fortunately for us, it's another good week. And I have one of the team leaders on offense, a veteran guy, a very interesting guy. I had the opportunity to interview him a couple years ago and learned a lot. I'd like to welcome number 52, Jeff Fain.
Thanks for having me.
How you feeling today?
Feeling okay. It's, yeah. You know, the soreness hasn't set in yet, so
we've got to
wait till Tuesday till that happens.
Well, yeah, it looks like it was a physical game. Statistically, you guys didn't run the ball all that well numbers-wise, but you were able to do enough to keep the offense balanced. But it looked like it was a pretty physical game.
Yeah, it was. Up front, these guys were moving around on their defensive front a lot. We were having to deal with some things that we haven't really had to deal with this year and even in the preseason, a lot of movement. But, you know, I think John Fox had a mindset of making us one-dimensional and seeing if our young quarterback and young running receivers could get it done. And they stacked the box all day. And it was tough sledding for the running game with us up front and with Cadillac and Ernest and all the gang back there in the backfield. You know, it's just a tough deal to be able to have to run into those eight-man fronts.
Yeah, and then when I watch film against when they played the Giants, I was very impressed with how physical and fast they played on defense. When you talk about movement, you're making reference to the fact that they shift or they line up in one spot and they'll slant away. And those linebackers were hitting it downhill. He's got to be hurting it.
Yeah, that linebacking core is a very, very talented group. You know, Connor at middle linebacker, Beeson at the weak. You know, those guys, you know, Connor especially really showed me some things. You know what Beeson, you know what you're going to get out of Beeson.
And he used to be the middle guy.
Used to be the middle guy.
To the weak side.
And I think it was a fantastic move for those guys to be able to do that because he can do a lot of things in that special position where he can run things down from the back and, you know, make some special plays. But they're very young up front. You know, a lot of almost no-name guys that really trying to make a name for themselves, you know, 2 and 3 years into the league. And, you know, they're missing their defensive end, Brayton, that was the oldest guy on the line. Other than that, you're looking at a group that are, you know, 2 or 3 years in the league that are hungry and they play fast, they play hard. You know, I definitely respected that group going into the game.
Yeah, and I'm, from being a player, I definitely felt the same way going in that I was pretty impressed with how hard they played. Now, crowd, was the crowd noise a factor? I know on the first drive, we got True Blood,
yeah,
who's the furthest guy from the quarterback,
right.
but it got pretty loud, didn't it?
It did. Early on, it got pretty loud. It was an issue, and we did have to go to a little silent cadence, and it's something that, you know, we hadn't utilized, you know, much this year at all, obviously not at home, and in the preseason not much at all. So it was definitely something that tested us a little early, but it was good to get it out of the way a little bit in under a game.
Now, how does that affect you, that silent count? I mean, you pretty much got to look through your legs, right?
Yeah, for me,
that makes life tough for you.
Well, for me, honestly, at the end of the day, it's not as bad as the rest of the guys because I know when I'm going to snap the ball. You know, and these guys basically have to make sure they have to keep their eye on the ball, work on our timing and whatnot, and it's tough. You know, it's tough for those guys, especially out there on the edge. But you know, when True Blood jumped off sides, it was. Before we even went to the silent count, you know, we're still on a normal cadence, and he just couldn't hear Josh at the line.
Right, and sometimes it's almost – I remember being a tight end out on the end, and it's almost better sometimes when it's a silent count because it forces you to look inside knowing that you're not going to hear anything. But when you're not looking and you're listening and it's loud
– yeah.
I mean, you're not, you know, a lot of things sound like HUD, a lot of things sound, you know, and I'd have a tendency to jump and pucker up and everything else. But what about blitzes? Did they do a lot of blitzing? Did they do anything you didn't expect them to do other than be aggressive? You saw them stunting on film.
Right.
You saw how fast they would hit the run. But did they do anything to surprise you guys?
No, not much at all. I mean, and that's one of the things that you're going to know you're getting into when you're going against a John Fox defense, Carolina Panthers defense, is that they have a small package, but they do it very well. And they perfect it, and they run it very, very well. And those are the things that we're facing. You know, we're seeing everything that we saw, you know, leading up to the game. We prepared well for them, and they showed us some very similar looks. Nothing really caught us off guard at all.
And unlike Cleveland did a lot of the things I didn't see in preseason. We got to visit with Cadillac last week, and they said that they did some funky things, especially on third down. Well, we're visiting today with Jeff Fain, and if you guys want to call in, ask a question, make a comment, number in Hillsborough is 813-990-4620. Pinellas County, 727-461-4620. Two toll-frees, 800-546-4620 and 800-596-BUCKS-2827. So let's go back to the blitz. That's something with a young quarterback, you know, obviously like Josh Freeman, until he can stand up there on third down and beat him 80% of the time, it's something you're going to see.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I think that Josh has done an extremely good job of reacting and adjusting to the blitz. You know, he never really loses his composure. And it's very shocking, too, because I've been around some young quarterbacks, and he really has great composure and great resolve in the huddle and continues to have it even when things aren't going perfect. When we have two stumbles in the first and second down, for him to make it up in the third down and make some big plays to keep a drive going was huge. So I think that he adjusts and overcomes the blitz and the adversity very well.
Well, that's obviously something he's going to see a lot, but how is he differently now than he was last year in the huddle? Is his presence different, or is he the same?
He's definitely different. And this is a guy that –
a lot more confidence?
Definitely. He has control of the offense. It's his offense now. You know, he has more confidence. He knows the plays like the back of his hand now. You know, if it's something where he hasn't gotten the whole call or missed some part of the call, he's able to, you know, basically be able to adjust and finish the call himself. He knows the offense that well, what kind of situation we're going to be in. He knows what to expect. You know, and having this knowledge and being able to be prepared is giving him confidence to be able to make plays. Naturally, his raw ability to be able to use that in the game.
Now, assess his play from yesterday after getting to watch the film.
It's fantastic. This guy was making plays with his legs, escaping some things where we didn't do as good of a job as we should have up front, and was making some plays down the field, used his legs to run up the field as well, made some protection adjustments to their blitzes to pick it up and make some big plays. He did a fantastic job yesterday. He's really coming along with his maturation process.
Well, I'd kid around with Olsen last year, and every radio broadcast when you got in third and one, I was like, listen, the guy's 265 pounds, just run a quarterback sneak. Well, yesterday we got to see on that big third down conversion, I mean, guys were like bouncing off him. He's a big guy. He's pretty impressive to watch, but I think my case is being sold every week that the fact that just, hey, let the big guy lean forward, get behind you. He's taller than you.
Oh yeah, he's got me.
He's a big
guy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Didn't make him like that back in the day, but yeah, he's a guy that, I mean, and his speed is deceiving because he is so tall. He's a long strider.
Long strider, right?
When we visited last time, we talked about you doing a lot to help him on third downs as far as getting the protection set. And do you still do that, or do you work back and forth?
We work together on game day. He definitely has the lead now. But I think the most that I give now is in the preparation process throughout the week. When we're watching blitz tapes, we're seeing how we're going to pick things up, being able to communicate, and how we could do it the best way that we can pick things up. You know, because we have a system to be able to pick things up, you know, whatever. You know, you'd be able to get it out hot at the worst-case scenario. But there's opportunities where if we pick it up perfectly, where we can hit some home run balls. And that's some of the things that we're working on during the week.
You sit in meetings and discuss those things?
I'm in protection meetings with his guys.
That's something I never understood, because you guys are so important to being able to get the ball off. And when we talk about all-out blitzes, for people that are listening, you're bringing linebackers out of coverage. And this is something we talk about on Sunday all the time. When you bring guys out of coverage to put pressure on a quarterback, there's areas of the field that are wide open. But the defense is banking on getting to that quarterback before he can figure out where the open area is. And many times they go all-out blitz and everybody's kind of one-on-one. So you have to buy that extra time so that the receiver can get a good release and the quarterback make an accurate throw. But for some reason, I was never in offenses where the quarterback would watch with the offensive line, because if you guys can decipher what they're doing – I mean, and give him that extra second, that's a home run. That's a one-on-one pass skeleton, kids playing in the backyard, pass and completion. Do you not agree?
I totally agree. And, you know, there's case in points, some of these plays that, you know, you got a guy – I'm really high on this guy. He's a young kid. Mike Williams out at the X right now, at the X receiver. This guy can make a play. If he's one-on-one with anybody with no safety help, this guy can make plays all day long. So if we're able to pick up the blitzes and be able to protect Josh to be able, so he can get off a clean release and be able to follow through, step into his throw, all those things, you're looking at to be able to pick up some big yardage gains, all day long.
Well, Michael Spurlock's a perfect example. Yeah. It's cover zero. They bring guys down. They're trying to touchdown. Bring more than you guys can block. It was a great throw, a great route, and Michael Williams has definitely got to do it. Sammy Strother can do it.
Yep.
You know, now, how important is the running game to all of this? You know, we were talking a little earlier about the fact that Cadillac, got beat up and the numbers aren't tremendous. But the running game is so important to the overall offense. Can you describe that a little bit?
You have to have a balance because you really don't want a team to be able to play you one way. If they're going to play you just one way, they'll be able to shut down your offense. And that's what I really thought that the Panthers were trying to do is basically shut down our run offense to make us beat them in the air. Sometimes you're just going to have to do what you have to do. But for us to be able to have a running game, it keeps it balanced, keeps guys out of the boxes, keeps it spread out. And in the box I'm talking about in between the tackles where you like to be able to run the ball. But it's something that, you like to be able to keep the balance so you can keep the momentum going. You keep the time of possession, maybe keep another offense, keep the other team's offense off the field. There's a lot of variables in there that you like to be able to run the ball. But the biggest thing is to keep a good balance.
Well, how about helping out your defense? This defense is built on undersized guy using speed, plugging the middle, letting them run things down. The more you guys run, more rest they get.
Right.
And another thing is keeping third downs manageable. How nice would it be for Josh Freeman every time to get that shotgun snap and have what's equivalent to a three-step drop, just get it out of his hand. So it doesn't matter how many guys they're bringing. You get a guy like Mike Williams just to get a great release and just stick him quick and not get tackled before the first down. So we talk about it a lot, and everybody's like, oh, they need to abandon the run. They're throwing better. But the reality is you don't have to average – 4 yards a carry, which you'd like to, but if you keep third downs, around 5-6 yards, that's easy pickings, much, much better than 7 to 10 yards.
Definitely.
Would you agree?
Yo, definitely. And, it's one of the things we love to be able to, what we call stay on schedule. And that's, to be able to pick 2 or 3 yards up first down, 2 or 3 yards up second down. And like you said, to be able to be in a situation where you're third down 3 to 5, 3 to 6 at the max, it's a perfect situation for us to keep moving the chains.
The example yesterday was pretty good for the most part. Guys got into some third and long situations, but that's where Freeman made some big plays and you guys were able to come up with it. You're listening to Jeff Fain. You want to call and ask him a question, give us a shout. Hillsboro, 813-990-4620. Pinellas, 727-461-4620, toll-free, 800-546-4620, and 800-596-BUCKS, 2827. We'll be right back with more with Jeff Fain on the Total Access Show. This is the Buccaneer Radio Network.
It's all football, all the time, on Buccaneers.com. From the first practice of the week to the end of the game on Sunday, we've got you covered. It's news straight from the source. Check out Buccaneers Insider for the latest news and interviews. Plus, see what your favorite players are doing off the field and in the community. Become a member of the One Buck Club, and you'll be first in line to receive breaking news, automatic entry for great contests, along with exclusive stories and photos, all on Buccaneers.com. We don't cover the Bucs, we are the Bucs.
Total Access returns on 620 WDAE and US 1035, the home of the Buccaneers.
Well, we are back with Jeff Fain on the Total Access Show. And before we get to the phone lines, we got a few callers standing by. How was the heat? Was the heat not too bad? They made a big deal about the heat going into the game up there, but I couldn't imagine it was as hot as the previous week. Right?
Temperature-wise, it might have been the same, but humidity, it wasn't even in the ballpark. I mean, it was a perfect day to play football. I wouldn't say it was a good day to play football. A perfect day would have been 70 degrees, 60 degrees.
Cloudy.
Yeah, cloudy.
A little breeze.
Yeah.
So what happened at the end of the game? You went down there, didn't you?
Yeah,
I thought you ran out of gas.
No.
What happened?
topic.
I didn't run out of gas. I just a little bit of a cramp deal, you know. So it was just really precautionary just to be able to get. I knew we were just.
I was trying to give you an excuse. I was trying to give you an out with the heat thing.
I know, but I just couldn't bite on it. I couldn't bite
just
on
soft?
It. Yeah, yeah. I'm just at the end of the day, I'm just soft, you know.
So. we're gonna go to the phones. We have John in Clearwater. Got a question for Jeff Ayne?
Yeah, Jeff, congratulations on the great victory and start of the new year here.
Thank you, John.
My question is, it was really a tremendous ending last year with beating the Saints, the Super Bowl champs, and then going to Seattle and beating them on the road, which is rare with West Coast trips. Does the impact of a decent ending the year before have any impact on the club in the new year with that history, or is it with the roster changes and everything really not that big of a difference?
Well, you know,
it's actually a pretty good question.
Yeah, it is. I think that it's always good to end the season with a good taste in your mouth. You know, rather how bad it went for us last year for the entire, you know, part of the year, for us to end with a good taste in our mouth is huge. And I think the biggest advantage that we have, at least preseason-wise, going into the season compared to last year, is the continuity. For us to have an offensive coordinator that's carried over with the quarterback that's going to be the quarterback of the future, for that to be intact, for the offense to stay the same, for that to be, you know, something that he can build on, and he, you know, Freeman's coming back and is reasonably comfortable with the offense going into camp. You have Coach Morris taking, you know, over the duties again and installing that Tampa Bay, Tampa 2 defense that everybody that was on the defense was drafted for or brought here to play. You know, there's a few variables that we can build on, but it's always good to end the season on a good taste in your mouth. And you know, obviously it was some you know, a lot of downs, a lot more downs than ups last year. But we were able to go into New Orleans, like you said, and then go all the way over to the West Coast and get some big wins.
Well, I tell you, I've gotten the question a lot in the last couple of weeks, like, why is this defense playing so well? It's exactly that. You have Jim Bates, and they spent the offseason installing a new system. They draft guys to fit that system, but everybody else, other than who they just brought in,
right,
fitting the other system.
Right.
You know, and you hear names like Barrett Rood. Well, all of a sudden he's playing well again. Well, that's what they were brought him here to do. The guy's stopping a run and covering the middle of the field in Tampa 2. There's not guys that can do that.
Right.
If you want to get a big run-stopping guy, he's not going to be able to cover the middle of the field. So, you got a guy that's designed to do that. All right, let's go back to the phones again. We have Kyle in Tampa.
Hey, what's up, guys? Congratulations on the win, Jeff. I want to ask us, Panini Doors, do you think with the moving of the refs, the offensive backfield now, is that more of an advantage to the offensive line or maybe more of an advantage to the linebackers? I'm seeing they can kind of get a little bit more holes and a little more jostle at the tight ends and the wide receivers in the middle.
You know, I think that
did they get you yesterday? Is that
yeah,
the guy that got
yeah,
you?
Yeah, they got me. I think it's more of an advantage for the defense. You know, well, I guess let's just say we can't take as many liberties as we used to be able to with the guy being able to see our hands. I think it's a little tougher. And then on top of that, I think, you know, I was really – I think it takes away a lot. You know, when I'm watching the preseason, when that game with Green Bay and Indianapolis, it takes a lot away from Peyton Manning's game. You know, it takes a lot.
Forcing him to slow down.
Yeah, forcing him to slow down. Forcing him to, you know, he used to be so up-tempo and could run a defense right off the field, literally. When guys are trying to get off the field, he'd go up there and snap the ball, you know, have 12 men on the field, and free 5 yards. You know, so I think, you know, it's for a great reason, for the health of the umpire.
Is that what they said? Because every preseason, for the people listening, the refs come in and they install – with a video and an explanation of all the new rules. Is that what the purpose of it was?
At the end of the day, that's the biggest reason.
Stick him in a helmet. Big,
yeah,
bright.
Why not? You know, why not? You know, it makes little sense. But, you know, I understand keeping those guys safe. you know, but I think it goes along with the same thing where, you know, where you hear guys complaining about injuries in football and then the remaining effects after you retire. And I had a chance to talk with Alfredo Roberts the other day, and you know, he was talking about, you know, how he was, you know, dealing with the knee repair and whatnot, but he said, this is the choice I made. And it's a similar situation. They chose to be an umpire. I mean, come on. I mean, you guys get back in there.
Wear
get in the mix.
Pads.
You know, do something.
You'll be all right. The funny thing is, if you look at those HBO specials where they get all the old players and they're in wheelchairs, they can't walk, they can't remember their name. And by the way, probably about 5 years, I'll forget who you are, too. I'm definitely a candidate for that. But every one of them, at the end of the interview, they go back and ask, if you could do it all again, would you do it again? And every one of them says, absolutely, 100%. As they sit in their wheelchair. Right. So at least it makes me feel better. And I feel the same way. I mean, you know, the experiences you have as a player, you know, are really unparalleled, you know, compared to the alternative of what you would have done in your lifetime.
For sure.
Well, if you're just joining us, we are talking with Jeff Fain. So was that a good holding call or not?
I mean, I can ask that.
I could have been the holdingest tight end in all of football.
I know, but what kind of question is that? Of course it's not a good call. There's never a good call.
The fact that they're behind you doesn't help.
It doesn't. It
does
not help.
The only way you'd get called when he was on the other side is if you really torqued that guy.
Yeah.
You know, now they can see exactly where your hand placement was and everything else. That makes it tough.
It does.
Another question. The snap that went over Freeman's head. What happened on that one?
There was – at the end of the day, it was just a miscommunication. I didn't realize he was in, you know, believe it or not, I didn't even realize he was in shotgun, and I snapped it as if he was under. You know, a lot of people ask me, well, can't you feel him under you?
Yeah, I was just going to say.
And, you know, you're so, during the game, you're so geeked up, and so, I mean, you're not even paying attention to that. And then that's, at the end of the day, that, you know, those hands under you is second nature. I mean, it's like almost a part of you, but it's one of those things where you're just not even thinking about it. And you know, it was a play that I really should have, you know, known that he was in shotgun. It was just a mistake. So, you know, it's one of these things too, where we just got to communicate and make sure that everybody's on the same page before the play.
Yeah, I wouldn't have guessed that, but I guess if it would have slipped out of your hand, we assumed in the box that it slipped out, but then it wouldn't have really got any height on it. It would have been one of those ones that skidded across the ground. I can ask that. Actually, Jeff Ryan is the producer for this show, but the very first game in Raymond James Stadium, opening a new stadium, everything's good. He comes to me just like he did last week. Can you do the show on Monday? He's the host. So I'm like, yeah, no problem. So I catch my first pass in the game. I get blown up. I fumble. So he's panicking because he's got me. I'm like, man. So fortunately for me, I came back and scored a touchdown. So he left the fumble on the side. So I can at least ask you about those things because you have to.
Of course.
People think about it. All right, we're going to go back to the phones. We have Russ. Are you there?
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, you just stole my thunder. I was asking you about that snap. But what I liked about that was after that, Freeman came up to give you a fist bump. That's my question. Is Freeman's got more control? He's more comfortable now, from what I'm seeing. And I like that he has a good rapport with the veterans. And you see that, and they showed it on TV yesterday. A little fist bump he gave you. I like that.
Yeah. No, we definitely have a great working relationship. He's a guy that's doing extremely good job at such a young age of you know, just being able to lead this offense and doing the things necessary.
Yeah, I mean, I like that. I like to see the way y'all approach that one there. And the fist bump is cool. I like when y'all did that. That was pretty nice. All right, man, good job, and let's go again next week.
All right, thanks, Russ.
Okay, my guest today is Jeff Fain. If you want to join us and give a call, ask a question to an offensive center. We don't get the offensive lineman in here too much. These guys are kind of the unsung hero. Doesn't happen without them, but then you know, if they call your name, it's not usually a good thing, right? Am I wrong?
You're not wrong.
You can give us a call in Hillsboro, 813-990-4620. Pinellas, 727-461-4620. Toll free, there's two of them, 800-546-4620 and 800-596-BUCKS-2827. So let's go back a little bit and talk about, you know, you're in your eighth year now, and I know that, you know, you're considered really an older guy on this team. But what do you do to take care of your body? I know you were here today on a Monday. A lot of young guys, you know, they go out fishing or do whatever, bowling or whatever they do.
Right.
You do a lot of extra now that you didn't used to do to take care of your body?
100%. It's you know, it's an investment for your game day. And that's the way I look at it. You know, it's something that we'll see returns exponentially, you know, as the season keeps going. But you're in here with the trainers, with your strength conditioning staff, with the masseuses, with ice tubs, you know, heat pads. I mean, you're just all over the place. But it's something that's necessary for you to play at optimum level on Sundays. And it's important, and it's important to take care of your body.
Now, what do you tell the young guys? I mean, do you share that with the guys, or they just see you, or – I mean, do you tell the young guys to take care of themselves, or it's kind of on a need basis?
Yeah, I mean, I think you tell them as much as possible, but at that age, I mean, you're feeling so great just popping out of bed.
Just get up and start running.
You know, you're 22 years old, you get out of bed fresh, you know, nothing hurts, and now it's you get out of bed, and it takes you about 10 minutes to get the three steps out of the way. And
it's an amazing thing. You get up, you need to stretch, you go run. I think the last 3 years I would have to get up, go to the hot tub before I can even stretch to go warm up to practice.
Right. Yeah. It's something that, you know, a lot of people, that's the thing that I think a lot of people, the fans, don't realize all that you go through and all the steps that is possible or necessary, I should say, to make it on game day and play at the level that you play. Like I said, it's an investment in that, you know, for that Sunday.
Well, nothing comes without a price. We all know that, good or bad. And, you know, the longer you play, you know, the more that price is of trying to take care of yourself. We got one more caller on the line. If you guys want to call in, give us a call. We have some lines open. We're going to take the one we have. Mike in Tampa.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. How you doing?
Doing well. First off, Jeff, I want to say you have probably you do have the most difficult job in the front line, so I commend you for that. I don't see it being very easy being center, having to hike and then turn around and block somebody come at you a million miles an hour. But my specific question for you guys today is, I know the first two teams you guys have played against, and I'll preface this by saying I am a Steelers fan, but I am a Bucs fan as well. But I kind of want to see your thought process coming into this game, because I think the first two defenses you guys have played against, while not definitely being horrible, are not stellar defenses, and you guys are coming in, you know, playing a team that just this weekend made 7 turnovers. James Harrison, you know, had a pretty big game, and Paul Mall is back this year. So kind of, you know, what you guys are looking at and what you guys are expecting, and I'll kind of hang up and listen to your thought process.
Okay, thank you. You know, we're expecting a very, very challenging game on our side of the ball. You know, their defense is extremely well, has played well for years. You got guys, you know, that I played against in, you know, my rookie year in Cleveland are still there that, you know, obviously if they've made it this long at that position, they're doing some very, very special things. You know, it's definitely a challenging team to play. They know their job extremely well. They play extremely well together. They fly around and do the things necessary. You know, you got a great front seven, and you have a back end that you know does some special things. You got a guy Troy Polamalu that plays all over the field, so it's something that is going to be a great challenge for us on offense to be able to get the things done and you know, be able to, you know, obviously, you know, these guys created 7 turnovers last week, so it's something that we're going to have to be able to do is in preparation, is taking care of the ball. It's going to be a huge part because, you know, these guys, you know, facts are facts. They're not playing as well as they really want to on offense, and so it's they're, you know, points are going to be at a premium, and it's going to be something that and possessions are going to be at a premium. We're going to have to take advantage of all of our possessions and do the things necessary to you know, just keep the chains moving and keep our offense on the field.
Turnovers are going to be the big thing during the game. You're listening to Jeff Fain. If you want to give us a call, ask a question, give a comment in Hillsborough County, 813-990-4620. Pinellas County, 727-461-4620. Toll free, 800-546-4620 and 800-596-BUCKS, 596-2827. We're going to take another break. We're going to come back with more on the Buccaneer Total Access Show. This is the Buccaneer Radio Network.
Buccaneers Total Access continues on 620 WDAE and US 1035. Here again is your host, Dave Moore.
We're back with Jeff Fain, and we got some callers we're going to go to in 1 second. And now you're 2-0. 3 weeks ago, I mean, there were a lot of the media, even the local media, was saying you guys were going to win 2 games. So you've obviously beat that by hopefully a long shot, certainly in the first 2 weeks, and you have some momentum. You also have a lot of young guys who seem to be very influenced by momentum in one direction or another. When you're a young guy, you know, the roller coaster of the NFL, you know, gets guys all over the place. What, after the second week of film, after assessing your play, did Raheem have to say to the team?
Well, since we had a victory Monday, we haven't had it yet. But,
well, explain to them what a victory Monday is.
A victory Monday, every so often, you know, when you have a big win or, you know, put some wins together, a coach will throw you a bone. Usually you have to work on a Monday, put in about a half day, and, you know, come in and lift and meet and watch the tape from the day before. But Coach Morris threw us a bone and gave us the Monday off.
I like it. So he didn't talk to the team.
No, not yet. But if he did talk to the team, what would he do?
Last week he said, and I listened to his show before ours last week, and he was saying that, you know, he said, good job, good win, but we have to correct this. You got to put it behind you, move on. Right. What would you expect him to say tomorrow?
That we left a lot on the field, and that is the truth. You know, there's a lot of things that, you know, and that's actually encouraging even more. Is that we left a lot on the field, and that we can even get better, because there are definitely, you know, not taking anything away from the Panthers, but facts are facts. There are better teams in the league than them, and they're at least playing better now. You know, and it's something that we're going to have to keep preparing and keep moving on and keep doing the things necessary. But there's a lot of room for improvement, and we'll keep improving.
And that's a good thing. Anytime you can win a football game 20-7 and still feel like you have room, yeah, and you left a lot out there.
It's a great thing.
It's something to build on, yeah, and just, as long as you keep those young guys focused, because, mm-hmm, you know, I know how they operate. Anyway, we're going to go back to the phones. We have Bill in Bradenton, wants to talk a little bit about Notre Dame.
Okay. Jeff, I wanted to congratulate you for a great win on Sunday, but I wanted to change gears and see what you thought your Irish were going to do this year, and how disappointing and how much that game Saturday night really did suck. I mean, we weren't prepared for that, and just wanted to hear your comments, and I'll hang up and listen.
Thanks, Bill. You know, I had a lot of question marks going into this season with my Irish, and I wasn't sure. You know, the Coach Kelly had done some good things, you know, some great things actually at every place that he had stopped. You know, but it's a different level, I think, at Notre Dame. You know, you always have a target on your back, and it is what it is. But, you know, and especially in this Michigan State-Notre Dame rivalry, which we just had this past weekend, you know, it's something that they've had our number for the last couple of years, and, you know, especially even when I was there. They played us well, only beat them once when I was there. But, you know, I think that they're definitely heading in the right direction. You know, I feel that, you know, at the end of the day, that's not the way you want to lose a game. Is on a special teams trick play, you know, especially when the play clock ran out and it was a delay of game. I won't say anymore, but you know, it's something that I'm looking forward to this team, though. They've got something to build on. They got some guys that can play. That Chris, the quarterback, is, you know, I think he can be a special player. They got some talent on the defense as well, and you know, a great tight end. I'm very impressed with him, and you know, some good receivers as well. So I think they got the building blocks. I think they're a couple years away from really being able to do something. That, you know, a couple years is a long time, it is a long time in college. But you know, hopefully they can just keep building and keep improving.
Now, is there people you still talk to up there that are giving you a feel of what's going on?
Actually, Coach Dembrock was a tackles tight ends coach when I was there. And this is actually his second stint at Notre Dame. So, you know, me and him, you know, we stay in touch pretty well. But it's something that, you know, I like this, you know, what I was hearing out of camp and what I was hearing out of what they're doing. I like Coach Kelly's style. From the standpoint of view, he's really trying to toughen these guys up. You know, they had a lot of guys, and that's part of the you know, the I guess the reputation of the Notre Dame guys is that, you know, a little on the softer side sometimes. And you know, I like the fact that he's going in there and really toughen these guys up. You know, and they're playing a little smash mouth football in their backyard against each other to get ready for the season.
Do you have all those tattoos when you were up there?
No,
Walking around with your sweater all tatted up?
I had a few tattoos, but it definitely wasn't as many as I have now.
Is it frowned upon or not?
You know, when I was there for the first couple of years, facial hair was frowned upon.
Really?
So, yeah.
But the tattoos were okay?
The tattoos were – I mean, they really couldn't do nothing about that. You can't shave off a tattoo, you know? But they had the Yankees roll in when we were up there, you know, no facial hair.
I like it. Well, good. Well, if you want to call and ask Jeff Fain a question, one more time, those phone numbers in Hillsboro, 813-990-4620. Pinellas, 727-461-4620. Toll free, 800-546-4620 and 800-596-BUCKS, 2827. We're going to go back to the phone one more time. They want to talk about Pittsburgh. Everybody's ready for Pittsburgh now. They're pretty fired up. We got Eddie in Newport Richey.
Hey, Jeff, how you doing?
Good, Eddie. How are you?
Good, thanks. I just had a question for you here with Pittsburgh's defense coming in here. Does it help at all that you guys have played Cleveland with a 3-4 defense, or really is that not a gaining ground at all?
No, it's a big deal. That's a big deal.
And you did in preseason as well. Yeah, you've seen a lot of the 3-4.
That's what I was about to say. It was actually a bigger deal preparing for Miami Dolphins, because that's more of the 3-4 that we'll see for the Pittsburgh Steelers. You know, there's two train of thoughts with the 3-4. It's either, you know, a two-gapper, and the two-gapper is a defensive line up front playing two gaps, or there's the blitz. The blitz is coming from everywhere, 3-4. And that's it, you know, you got.
Well, explain the difference between a 4-3. A 4-3 is pretty much what the majority of NFL runs. Obviously. Well, not anymore. It's kind of migrating now. But I'm saying in general, the perception is most teams run 4-3, which is four down defensive linemen and three linebackers.
Right.
The 3-4 does what?
3-4 does three defensive linemen and four linebackers. And even in special cases.
And those guys, those down guys are 350. They get
big
humans
big,
in there.
Huge guys. You're trying to utilize two offensive linemen with those defensive linemen. But in some cases, you know, with guys like the Jets, the Browns, of that genre of the 3-4, they'll come in there with one defensive lineman and two linebackers playing down linemen, and then five DBs running around all crazy, you know, and that's they almost like to you know, paralyze with confusion and you know, have defenders coming from every different direction. That's that style of defense. The Steelers, you know, they have one guy that can really change it up pretty well for you, and that's Polamalu. But other than that, they're the guys that are the big, strong guys up front. This is what it is, and we're gonna outmuscle you. We're gonna out physical you, and that's their mentality. And those are the tight games. I would much rather play a team like this than, you know, guys just coming from every different direction and you really not being able to get physical with those guys. That's the mentality as an offensive lineman, what you like to see. But it's going to be a great challenge. These guys are good at what they do and been doing it for a long time together, and you know, so it's going to be a good battle.
Well, the thing protection wise, now you have to orchestrate to explain, you know, how you have to deal with it. You as a center on third down, they have one guy that's down, they have three defensive backs, two linebackers, and they're all walking around. Well, you have to get yourself and the four other offensive linemen on the right guys so that the back knows who he's responsible for, and then the quarterback knows if anybody else left comes, he's got to throw it hot. Right. So, I mean, that's tough to do when you guys walking around. Right. Fortunately, you're going to be at home, so communication should be good. But when you have to do that on the road, it becomes a very difficult.
It's very, very challenging. It's very
people challenging. Don't realize how hard that is, and all of a sudden somebody comes free and blows up the quarterback, and they're like, the offensive line doesn't know what they're doing. Well, that's not necessarily true. It's just trying to figure out, you know, in your job, above that is they try to disguise everything. So they try to show you one thing and bring something else. Mm-hmm. So you're trying to figure out, all right, is he really coming from there, or is he trying to get my attention to turn everybody that way so we can bring three guys from the other side, which makes it even harder.
Yeah, you know, in those situations, it's playing poker on the field. That's all it is. You know, is this guy bluffing, or is he really got the right cards, you know? And sometimes it's tough. Sometimes you got some great poker players out there that can just – they can play ball well, and they're able to challenge you and show some good things. But also, you know, one thing I wanted to point out also on the 3-4 especially against the type 3-4 that we're going to be facing against the Pittsburgh Steelers, is the challenge of the outside linebackers. And the challenge is that a lot of times
he's 5'7" and he's 260.
Yeah. Well, a lot of times in the pass protection game, you have running backs that normally will block the outside linebacker. And when you have, which in this case is the best pass rusher as an outside linebacker, that's a huge challenge for us, you know. And those are the things that you have to scheme and do and prepare for and to protect, you know, because you're not going to win too often with James Harrison going against Cadillac Williams. To you know, Cadillac's a great pass blocker, but at right. the end of the day, this guy's a different, you know,
genetically
different type
he's
beast.
At a
yeah,
disadvantage
for sure, you know. So he's outweighed by, you know, almost 60 pounds, you know, so it's a big deal.
And those linebackers in a 3-4 traditionally are almost the size of some defensive ends.
Right.
I mean, you have Kyle Moore who plays defensive end for us. Well, it's pretty common to get those outside linebackers in that 3-4 that are his size. So they yeah. play up, they play down, they cover guys.
And just like he's the guy who plays the outside linebacker when we're preparing for 3-4s.
Right. You know, so you guys as offensive linemen want to take those guys, but mm-hmm. then if you go 5-0, which means you just line up on a guy's line of scrimmage, now you have those interior linebackers coming through creating a lot of problems. So yeah. anyway, we're going to stay with Pittsburgh. We're going to go back to the phones. We have Sabrina and Holiday to continue this conversation.
Hello?
Hello.
Hi, Jeff Bain. I just want to say congratulations on the 2-0 start and absolutely thank you for the hard, you know, Tampa fans.
Thank you, Sabrina.
Sticking with, you know, Pittsburgh, obviously this is our very first, you know, true test of character when it comes to this football team. The Browns and the Panthers, you know, big divisional game, but still not a top quality football team as the Steelers are. How have you guys been preparing for this, and has the absence of Roethlisberger played into how you're preparing for it?
Is she a Steeler fan? Are you? You sound like a Steeler fan. Are you trying to steal information? Just kidding.
You know, Sabrina, it's a good question. You know, I think that, you know, obviously we just played the game yesterday, so we're going to start preparing this upcoming week. You know, we'll start preparing on, you know, some guys have already started preparing already. We watched, you know, a couple of guys watched some tape this morning on the Steelers. But with Roethlisberger being out, you know, obviously he's a great quarterback, has done some special things throughout the years in managing that offense and doing the things necessary to win a Super Bowl and whatnot. But, you know, you still have to prepare and prepare these guys. Everybody in the NFLs are special players, you know, at the end of the day. You know, you can always get beat by anybody out there. You can go out there and have a great game. So we're going to have to prepare well for whoever's playing quarterback. But it's going to be a good challenge, you know. It's going to be something that we're just going to have to prepare for. And you know, have been a top quality team, have been on the upper echelon of the NFL for a while now, and it's something that it is going to be a little more challenge, I think, a bigger challenge than it has in the past 2 weeks. But I think we're ready for the challenge.
I know you haven't put much film study in at all yet just because it's Monday, but does it appear from the surface that they do a lot to confuse you, or are they just kind of out physical you?
No, that's their game, is out physical. You know, they on a couple of the interceptions that they made, you know, there's a couple of things where I think they confused Vince Young, but at the end of the day, these guys are smash mouth guys, you know, and they know their role, they know their job, and they do it very well, and they're where they're supposed to be all the time, and so that's what makes it challenging. You're not going to have a lot of mental errors on that defense, and it's something that you're just going to have to beat them physically. You have to beat them one on one.
Well, Dick LeBeau, who runs really that defense up there, as far as schemes go, was one of the coaches when I was with the Buffalo Bills, and he's, you know, the grandfather of the zone blitz. He's the guy that invented it, and he, just from a scheme standpoint, is by far the most intelligent guy trying to break down ways to stop runs and passes, and he's a guy that I certainly have a lot of respect for. He's been around for a very long time. All right, so we're going to go back to the phones. We have Doug in Sarasota.
Yeah, you guys there?
Yeah, yes. We're here.
Hey, Jeff, I just want to say I'm glad to have you with the Bucs, and you guys did an absolutely fabulous job against Carolina. They've always been one of our hardest teams every year, it seems like, to get a win against. My question is just the aspect of the momentum. You know, you guys have got the 2-0 aspect where, you know, last year we had real hard times getting any momentum, and now with this momentum going into the third week, you know, the offense has such a great aspect of getting down the field they showed this last weekend. Do you think you guys can just carry it on? And, I mean, the quarterback looks like he's just in sync with most of your guys, and the rest of your line looks like you're just blocking and preparing for him very well. And what's your opinion of coming in against Pittsburgh?
Well, it is. It is always easier to prepare the next week off of a win. You know, the bumps and bruises and the physical game, you know, the physical part of the game that you deal with throughout the week is something that you take it a little easier off after a win. And it's just a little easier to prepare. You know, the guys have done a great job of having some continuity up front. You know, we've been playing well. And the quarterback with his receivers they've been connecting pretty well, you know, early on. And it's actually I think it's surprising, you know, how well that they're connecting so far. These guys prepare very, very well to be able to pick up some things and be able to do the things that necessary. And it's something that you know, of course, we love to be able to ride the momentum. But at the end of the day, you know, we have to put. Whether if there are wins or losses, we have to kind of put them to bed and move on. We should, you know, it's because we got to keep preparing. We can't be content with what we got, but it's always easier to prepare after a win.
Well, we're talking about young guys. One of the things I want to ask you, particularly after camp, you know, you have McCoy come in, you have Price come in. These are some young guys, and everybody says, yeah, they're playing well. Well, sure, they're, you know, your first and second pick, but you're a guy that went against them daily in practice. What is your assessment of these guys as players? I mean, you're a guy that's been around. You've been a Pro Bowl alternate. You know, you've run offenses. What is your opinion of these guys? What do they have that's special?
Gerald McCoy uses his hands extremely well for a young guy. It's one of those things that you have to pick up as you get older in the NFL. And you usually see that happen, you know, 2 or 3 years down the road. But this guy is all, you know, from day one is using his hands very well. And that's something that you just don't see out of young guys. And obviously is very, very freakishly athletic, can move, can do some things pretty well. Is a fantastic pass rusher and equal on the run stopper. Price is a guy that really surprised me. And I think that he'll, as he continues to get comfortable and continues to improve, I think he'll start to surprise a lot of people. An extremely, extremely fast get off the ball. The guy gets off so fast. I mean, it was unbelievable when I was, you know, when we were first going against the guy, first getting used to it. He just has that knack, you know, to be able to can tell when the snap's getting ready to go, and does a fantastic job of getting off the ball. You know, I think is a bright future for the Tampa Bay Bucks defense. You know, especially in the interior defensive line, with these two young guys, they're going to be able to mature together and be able to cause some havoc together for many years to go.
And there's a lot of those things. When it comes to third down and third down and long, so many things those two guys can do together inside
and
that creates a lot of problems. You can only double team one of the guys. You can't do both when you line up right. And
it helps the defensive ends too. You know, the things in the past, you know, the things that's been tough on our defensive ends is that, you know, we had some great guys in the interior defensive line the past couple of years, but it's the pressure, the push up the pocket that makes the quarterback escape out the sides of the pocket, that and it allows the defense end to get those sacks. When a quarterback, you know, it's a perfect example of a guy like Drew Brees always stepping up into the pocket. If he has the chance to step up into the pocket, he can escape those defense ends that are rushing on the outside. So when you have a guy, you know, that you know, and I'm not comparing him to Warren Sapp, but Warren Sapp-esque, to be able to put some pressure in the interior, that's when you have a guy like Simeon Rice is going to have a hell of a career, you know, getting all those sacks, because the quarterback has to escape somewhere. You know, so it's going to be huge for our defensive ends. Obviously, it's going to be great, the tandem working together. You know, I'm looking forward to seeing some big-time games from these guys from in the future.
And I think it's unrealistic to expect, you know, McCoy to come in here and have 10 sacks or Price. But your point is, and it's something that we talk about a lot, they could be extremely productive and never get to the quarterback, but prevent him on a third and medium to long situation from stepping up to buy that extra time for that deep route to develop.
Right.
If you force them to throw it earlier, force them out the side of the pocket, and force them into those edge rushers, because those edge rushers have a tendency to get up and around the tackles, but if the quarterback steps up, they spend all day chasing them.
Right.
But if they can't step up, well, we got to take another break. We're going to be back in a minute. We have a few more callers. We got Courtney next in Dallas. We'll be back with Jeff Fain on the Total Access Show. This is the Buccaneer Radio Network.
You're listening to Buccaneers Total Access. This is 620 WDAE and US 1035, the home of Buccaneers football.
Okay, we're back with Jeff Fain, and we've had some callers that have been waiting for a while. We're going to get to. We have Courtney in Dallas. Got a question for Jeff?
Hey, guys. This is Courtney. I had a question, Jeff. Being in Dallas, it's very frustrating to listen to the mass media and how they grade teams out prior to the season. I know you all have your publicists and things like that, but how does the team take it when people I won't sing out any particular media person, but when people like Peter King, I want to say another name, but they say things about the team without doing in-depth research. And me, in my career field, I'm a network engineer. When I go and work on a network or I perform my job or business without thorough research, I have repercussions. When Peter King or another individual make substantial posts in the media like that and say the Bucs will win 7 games in 3 years or all of this garbage without substantial backup, don't you feel that there should be a backlash or their employer should say, hey, you guys shouldn't come out and do those kind of things without, and then the team goes 8-8 or 10-6, things like that. How do you feel about that, Jeff? And I'll hang up.
Well, Courtney, it's something that you just have to deal with in professional athletics. You know, it's something that, you know, you're not going to have your fan out in all media outlets. You're not going to have, especially coming off of a 3-13 season with such a young team. You know, everybody outside the building, or at least I wouldn't say everybody, but a lot of people outside the building here at One Buck in Tampa, you know, was definitely thinking that, you know, we're not going to, you know, play up to. I guess our standard, you know, our standard is to be in the playoffs, and everybody in this building, you know, we're doing one game at a time to get to what we need to get in the playoffs. And that's our goal, you know, and we have some huge goals, you know. I guess other people would think there'd be huge goals and huge aspirations, but it's, lack of a better word, status quo here, you know, and that's something that we're pushing for. And that's something that we like to be able to get into the playoffs. You know, I don't think, you know, Peter King and all those other guys, you know, they have to make choices. You can't just, you know, kind of sit on the fence and not choose on, but they have to choose the losers. They have to choose the winners. And, you know, sometimes they're wrong, sometimes they're right. And, you know, hopefully they're wrong in our case. And, you know, we'll just keep proving them wrong.
Well, thank you. Courtney, I'm looking at my next guy. My next guy is Steve in Riverview.
Hey, guys. Yeah, I had a question for the both of you, actually. I know that the shotgun back to the quarterback, you're hiking it up and not as far back to the holder for the kicks, and when you hike it down for the kicks, but why do you have to have two separate guys? I mean, centers are smart. They can figure out how to snap to a holder. Is it just the running, or is there something hidden that, you know, normal fans don't really see?
No.
They're lazy. They don't want to do both.
You know, these guys that, you know, for the long snappers, you know, it's a special skill. You know, it's something that, you know, these guys, they're long snappers in, you know, probably high school and college, and or guys who have just developed the skill, you know, in their career as a professional athlete as well, you know, and just able to get it done. But it is definitely a special skill. There's a lot of pressure on it, and you know, I think it's you know, one of the most underrated jobs in the NFL. You know, people always take things, you know, for granted until that snap is off point, or the hold's off point, or something's wrong, and then you know, next thing you know, the long snapper is getting shipped off of the team. You know, but it's a skill that is a hard skill to master, and I think it's a very, very important part of your team.
Well, I was the exception to that rule. I never did it in high school, I never did it in college, and I did it, like, year 13, 14, and 15 kept me around. No. The only difference is on a shotgun, you look at the quarterback. When he gives you the foot or the hand, you look at the defense before you snap it. I got to snap it and try to figure out where everybody's at.
Yeah.
Afterwards, it's no fun. The good thing is nobody lines up on your head on field goal anymore. But that doesn't mean they can't hit you.
Yeah.
Punt, they can still run you over.
Yeah.
All right, well, we're not going to talk about Pittsburgh. We spent a lot of time talking about it. But you're a big guy off the field, and we got 2 minutes. Tell us some of the stuff you got going on. You got a foundation. You have a bunch of businesses. Can we get, like, a Cliff Note version?
Sure.
I'll just give you an indication when you got to wrap up.
Okay. The first and the biggest thing on our list right now is we got this cool thing. It's a charity fundraiser for the Fain House that we're auctioning off a 67 Nova over at Barrett Jackson West Palm in February. It's actually, we just shipped it out for Barrett Jackson in Las Vegas and Barrett Jackson Scottsdale, be it both. But it's something that we're hoping goes for a lot of money. We donated it we built it over at our car shop. It's one of my business ventures over in Palm Harbor, Chimera Customs. And it's something that we're really, really proud of. And it's something that I think should fetch a lot of money and go to a good cause. But it's something that, I stay busy, and business has been good. Business is business.
You still drilling oil?
Still drilling oil. Still pumping.
You making any money?
Still making money.
You got a clothing store still?
You know what? We shut that down. We shut the clothing store down. I was not happy with just covering the overhead. You know, I like to make money, and we were actually moving it into a bar. We're changing it to a bar.
I like it. Well, very good. Well, Jeff, thank you for your time. We appreciate it. We will talk to you next week on the Total Access Show. We'll have another guest, and good luck. Go Bucks.
Thank you.
This is the Buccaneer Radio Network.
You've been listening to Buccaneers Total Access on 620 WDAE and US 103.5, the home of Buccaneers football.